This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Enterprise. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and it's the last Thursday of the month, so this is the time when we will look back at the stories that has been happening the whole month of June, and I'm here with Uma Pagan.
Hello.
Hello. Jeff. This is the first time we're doing a wrap-up show.
Hey, I know. This is really fun.
And,
because lots has happened in June.
Yeah. Good things and also some really bad things. Ransomwares and,
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
crazy amount of, like, you know, just insane amount of cybersecurity stories that has come out.
Even today, I think in the front page of NST's website, it's a big warning about not WannaCry, but the next one that supposedly Malaysians should be aware of.
And, you know, speaking about that, it's actually very interesting to finally see now, you know, national newspapers running ransomware stories and cybersecurity stories on headlines. Because when was the last time you saw, you know, two major, like WannaCry came out? I remember it was on front pages of all the newspapers. Now we see it as well.
Yeah, but because it's affecting the everyday man as well. It's not just the corporates and the hospitals and all of that stuff, but, you know, it's anyone who uses WhatsApp. Your uncles and aunties who can get easily duped via email scams.
We just believe it's, you know, wow, this is real because, you know, someone sent me a text. It's Uma sending me something via WhatsApp.
So that's
right,
the biggest thing, right? They spoof your name, they spoof your number, they spoof your email address, so it looks like it's genuinely coming from you. And if I see an email from Jeff, I'm likely to click it, right?
The trust is there. Anyways, let's not talk about cybersecurity because those are very downer kind of stories. Fun stories.
Yes,
E3 happened this year. We're both gamers. You're wearing a Donkey Kong t-shirt here.
I am.
So E3 happened in the mid of June in LA.
Correct.
Have you actually been to any E3?
No, I haven't.
No, yeah. So it's been a dream, I think, for the both of us you know, to go experience something like this. We're not going to talk about, you know, exactly what happened in E3 because you can listen to Game Time. We've done a show on that, on the best games and some of the, you know, the biggest news updates. I want to talk about Nintendo because you're an owner.
You want to talk about the Xbox One, Xbox One, Xbox One?
The Xbox One X, and then the second one will be X2 or XX or something.
XX.
So let's. And Microsoft, the Xbox, there's no system, there's no community here. There is no support here.
It's quite sad, right?
It is really sad.
Has US accounts and buys gift cards and does all kinds of dodgy stuff.
You know what I did? When I bought the Xbox 360, about 8 years ago, I actually had to use my sister's credit card in Singapore.
There you go.
Because Singapore has support there, right? So I had to actually then get my sister, like, hey, can I borrow your credit card for this? And it was just really tedious.
But that being said, before we talk about Nintendo, it's a really impressive piece of kit, engineering,
it's a hardware.
Ooh,
bring it here, please.
Probably the best gaming console power-wise that you will have. I mean, it outstrips the PS4, the 4K PS4.
By miles.
The PS4 Pro by miles, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, it is one of those devices that we kind of long for, in the sense that, you know, in your home and in my home, we've got like three devices to consume, you know, different things.
Yes.
Whereas the Xbox One X, because of its capabilities, it can actually kind of replace a whole bunch of things into just one.
Yeah, it's a full PC with Xbox software.
It's a full PC. Anyways, Microsoft, please bring it down here. Let's talk about Nintendo because they were like the big winners of this year's not quite big E3. Like, Sony's a bit disappointing.
Yeah, Sony didn't announce
Microsoft
much.
Because we're not gonna. But Nintendo and
Jeff, they know what they just sell
Nintendo
nostalgia, right?
Yeah,
because you look at the Xbox One. Right, by all any measure, that should have been the biggest announcement.
Oh,
just technological leaps and all that stuff. Meanwhile, I saw this fantastic tweet, and I think that person summed it up perfectly. I can't remember who tweeted it. It was someone out in the US, and they went, you know, Xbox, colon. And then they go, you know, we've got 70 million teraflops and blah, blah, blah. And then Nintendo, colon. If you throw your hat on a frog, you can become the frog. And everyone goes nuts. Because they, of course, announced the new Mario game.
Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, which looks amazing.
Yeah. Finally, we get to see Mario, you know, in an open world and doing things. It feels like it's Legend of the Zelda, but, like, you know, you've got Mario characters into it now, right? And you can now play it on the Switch, which you own.
Which is...
Are you personally excited about Odyssey?
Oh, for sure. I mean, so, like, you know, by all measure, yet again, the Switch is a very technologically backward device if you think about what's in it. You know, the battery life isn't great, but it's such an amazing device. The handheld features. I mean, admittedly, I've hardly ever played it on my TV. I just play it in bed. because it's wonderful. I plug it in, play it in bed. It's hours and hours of fun on Zelda. I haven't even bought many games for it because
there
the
isn't many
titles,
games though.
That's true.
It,
that's
right?
true. But the launch titles were so addictive that I'm so happy with it.
See, when I did a show with Richard talking about, you know, the Nintendo and Nintendo Switch, and we talked about, you know, how it's a nice device that us gamers always wanted, a portable device. You have your PSP, you had your
which is all. No, I mean the Vita, the PSP.
They were all horrible, right? Yeah. And Nintendo has always been really good in doing handheld gaming, right?
If you look at sales numbers of the DS today in Japan still, it is one of the best-selling devices. That's what kept them afloat for the longest time, the
DS. You can go back all the way to the Game Boy and all
correct,
that.
Correct, because the Wii U was a pretty much a failure.
The Wii U is what the Switch is supposed to be.
Precisely.
Right? So now that the Switch is up and, you know, we're getting a whole bunch of announcements. The Switch has been around for about a year, going to be a year, I guess.
Seven, eight
months or so. So we're now finally seeing the catalog of games coming out, and E3 obviously showed it. Mario Odyssey really, you know, just took the show by storm. What's interesting is also, I found this article on, like, you know, winners and losers of the Game Critics Award.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, they have this. So Best of Show actually went on to the Super Mario Odyssey. Best Original Game went to Mario and Rabbids Battle Kingdom. And this is like the worst kept secret ever.
Yeah,
everyone knew
everyone
there was
knew
a collaboration going on. And finally, you get to see it happening. And then they had the Best Console Game. It went to Super Mario Odyssey as well. And then VR and other stuff all was just, you know, kind of gone on to like,
Nintendo. Big winner, right? And then not just in those senses, but also, I guess, if you look at social media traction, video shares, that Mario Odyssey thing was, you couldn't escape it. It was everywhere you looked.
Now, I'd also want to bring up, because we didn't mention this enough on Game Time, we didn't have time, but Shadow of Colossus, were you a fan of the game?
No, la.
Ah, right, okay. So that was something that took me by surprise, because I thought the game was just done and dusted, and now they're bringing it back, and it looks exactly like the game we used to play in, you know, early 2000s or in late 90s, and you know, it was just something to, nice to see that it's coming back in 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
So, this also goes back to the idea of nostalgia and what works, right? Mm. So everyone seems to be banking in on this stuff.
Yeah.
They announced a new Far Cry game, right?
Yeah.
On the Switch, where you can play Zelda. Because clearly Zelda is a skinned version of Far Cry.
That is true.
But they're just going, they know what works and what people want, and they just seem to be building on that. And Nintendo, touch wood, I think they deserve it. They've been out in the wilderness. I mean, they were nowhere close to Sony and Microsoft in the console wars. And I think they're slowly clawing their way back, which is nice.
Do you think the Nintendo Switch is good enough of a device that can, you know, spur people like Microsoft, like Sony, to jump into the mobile? Sony has, and, you know, I remember them coming out and say, like, yeah, you know, the PS Vita, it was, you know, it was a success to a certain extent, and they have no plans to come up with a new one. It just feels like they've kind of given up. Microsoft is obviously never even talked about
it. Does it matter,
you know,
like, for them? Because they're
gamers
so focused.
Want it, though.
Yeah, gamers want it, but they're so focused on the home gaming atmosphere, but taking over your home TV completely, right? So you can watch your TV on it, Netflix, everything. You can do all from that one device. They're so focused on that. And I think they know for the most part that gamers are not the kind of people that will primarily just buy one device and stick with it. I think
if you want
a handheld, but if you want a handheld, you'll buy a handheld. If you want a home device, you'll buy a home device, right? But I think it's all in the games.
So they're giving that space to Nintendo, who's obviously been dominating ever since.
Yeah, exactly.
Handheld devices.
Exactly.
Handheld game devices have been
around,
right?
I mean, this is the first time in a long time when there's no announcements from anyone about, from Sony or Microsoft about any kind of handheld move, right?
Yeah. Nothing at all. Yeah. So the Switch, good enough still for you?
I think so. Because
you've been using
it for... Like I said, you don't expect going in to see cutting-edge graphics like you would find on a Microsoft Xbox One X or
it's a different
even
expectations
a PS4,
anyways, right?
But for something you can hold in your hand, it's amazing. I can't praise it enough.
But do you think that the E3 was, you know, a lot of focus were put on Nintendo because Microsoft and Sony were just disappointing, and, you know, if you look back at it, E3 has just kind of been a bit disappointing over the past few years.
E3, CES.
Oh my God, CES. CES become a washing machine show now already, right? It's a car show. It's a car show and washing machine and fridge. And
but there's nothing super exciting. I'm waiting for Sony's next generation console to come out when they announce that, whenever that is. Yeah. That's going to, I'm sure, it's going to have AI, VR, everything. That's going to be huge.
Anyways, we'll continue on the wrap-up of the month. We will talk about WWDC. Yeah, that's why Uma is here in the show.
So
we will be right back. This is Good Times, Bad Times, Led Zeppelin, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You're listening to Tech Thursday with me and Uma Pagan on the show. And we're wrapping up the month of June. And early on, we talked about E3, the Electronics Entertainment Expo, all gaming stuff. Let's move on to WWDC, Apple's WWDC.
So that was earlier this month as well.
Earlier this month, yeah. June 5th or so around there. Yeah.
Correct.
Whole bunch of announcements.
Yeah, plenty of announcements on Apple. Surprisingly, some new hardware. Some hardware announcements too, which they normally don't do during conferences.
I don't think anyone's complaining. I think everyone's just a bit now wondering, like, you know, what's the iPad going to be? Because you have your iPad Pro and you've got your iPad Mini.
So I think they streamlined. Yeah. They seem like they're streamlining it. So it's just iPad and then iPad Pro, right? Yeah.
It's a powerful machine, by the way, and with iOS 11,
which we'll only see in September. That was their biggest announcement. So first of all, I guess they're trying to get into the speaker business
or the HomePod, or
so
something
compete
like that,
with Amazon, Sonos, and Google.
Yeah,
and that one also we won't get to touch or see until November or December, so we don't know how good that's going to be. But essentially, they're promising Siri integration and a good speaker along with a personal music assistant. So yet again, they're going along this line of music, right? Which has been their selling point since Jobs. Only now, I think they think they have Dr. Dre and stuff, so they might have a they might have a little more cred. We don't know how that's going to work
not
out.
Sure,
right?
Not sure yet.
We don't know. So, but yeah, the biggest announcement was this iPad Pro. And what's interesting about, I haven't got my hands on one, but what's interesting about all the reviews I've read about this pre-iOS 11 is that its biggest criticism is that it's too good, in the sense that they've peaked with regards to hardware, in the sense that the tablet market for other manufacturers is nothing.
Yeah.
No one's releasing anything new. And the problem is they're saying that the last iPad Pro was so good, you have no reason to buy the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why spend?
If you have an iPad that's like maybe 3 years old, then it's a worthwhile upgrade. If you just bought yours last year,
why spend 5,000 ringgit, for example, for the highest end 10-point whatever inch iPad Pro? Yeah. If you just
pricey,
bought one, because it's actually so good as it is.
Yeah.
When iOS 11 comes out, I know the beta is out now and everyone can use the beta because it's a public release. I don't recommend it. All kinds of apps will crash.
Don't. Especially if you use your iPad on a daily basis or for any work purposes, don't do it. Don't do it. Just wait till September.
Correct.
It's a few more sleeps than it's September.
Yeah.
Right?
But they're trying to push the iPad as a kind of laptop replacement for the average user.
Yeah.
So Chuang, who does the morning run, actually has switched over completely to an iPad Pro. So he uses, but then unlike us, he's not doing any video editing or stuff like that. So for his needs, which is surfing, research, writing, emails, he uses an iPad Pro and a keyboard, and he seems to manage just fine after his old laptop died. I think he's been using it for close to 7 or 8 months now. Wow. And I think with people like that, with business people like my mum, for example, they don't even own laptops anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with iOS 11 and its new multitasking features and all the stuff they've announced, you're nowhere near being a laptop replacement.
Of course.
But I think you're getting one step closer, lah.
I think the problem when it comes to, let's just focus again on the hardware before we move on to why iOS 11 is such a big shift. For hardware side, I think in replacing a laptop, for a tablet to replace a laptop, is a big ask.
Yeah.
Simply because just the dynamics of the hardware itself, the way your keyboard attaches to your iPad, the angle of your iPad that you get to view. Of course, you've got different cases that can adjust your viewing angles, but it is still not as conventional that how we're used to laptop. I'm not saying laptop is like better for your health or what, because
I think it's just what we're used to for 25, 30 years.
Yeah, so we're so used to it that we have to adapt to using, because even for the Surface Pro, which is sort of like in between of these two devices, I wasn't quite comfortable in using it it on like
as a full-on laptop.
As a full-on laptop, because I just, this thing is, you know, the angle,
if
the viewing angle.
If I push the screen
angle,
back too much, it'll too fall much. Down.
Yeah, it's a bit too much. And then like, I push it back a bit forward, it's like the keyboard's a bit too close to the screen. And, you know, you get that kind of adjustments issues that, you know, first world problems, like, in a sense.
It
right?
is first
like,
world problems, but I think, no,
but I won't buy another additional keyboard because, you know, keyboard too near, too far.
But you say first world problems, but I think the key is making it so that we don't have to worry about it. For me, the greatest technology is stuff that I don't have to think about. Mm. I don't have to worry about. And it's not quite there yet as a laptop replacement. But iOS 11, you know, they've given you full access. It's real multitasking. You know, you can do all these stuff. It's
finally,
file manager access.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting for me, my biggest takeaway was this could have only happened in a post-Steve Jobs world, in the sense that Steve Jobs was such a control freak that I guarantee that even if he did it, it wouldn't have third-party access to Dropbox, Google Drive. He would have insisted everyone use Apple iCloud services, right? And I think that in that sense, Apple can move on now and open up a little more and play nicely with other people.
And you see the benefits when they do open it up, because people are saying, like, how amazing that my file manager now can link to Dropbox and Google Drive.
That was the smartest thing Google did, right? Because Google realized that Android is not Google, Google is not Android.
Yeah,
so they went, actually, we're releasing our iOS apps at the same time as everything else, because they know that's how they make the most money.
More users at the end of the day. And, you know, there are people who are frustrated with Apple's own iCloud, you know.
It's awful.
It's awful, right?
Like, and their cloud services have been the weakest link for decades, dude. Yeah. Remember, MobileMe.
Oh my God, MobileMe.
iCloud. They haven't been able to crack cloud services. Yeah. And, you know, when people like Dropbox and stuff do it and do it well, just give them,
Especially when you get like a startup company like Dropbox and now, you know, to become
which
where
is
they
amazing.
Are. Amazing. Yeah, completely amazing.
Even if you
it's
don't...
because these companies just were not doing anything in their cloud system. You get a startup
no,
that...
whatever you use, Google Drive, Box, whatever, the key phrase now is, I'll Dropbox it to you. Even if you don't use Dropbox, right?
It's become a language. It's a word that you use, right? Like, you know, you Google search it or kind of thing, right? Yeah, so let's go back to iOS 11. For me, it's interesting that, you know, in 2017, we are super excited about drag and drop using a tablet.
Yes.
And, I mean, yeah, it sounds like, you know, this is weird. Like, why are you so happy about drag and drop? However, I've seen, you know, an example of how you can drag from one application to the other application within iOS 11. And I thought, like, wow, that's actually a really powerful tablet
So the reason why I think it was people were excited was because drag and drop on, I know it sounds weird, on the tablet is actually more powerful than drag and drop on your laptop.
Yeah, because
you don't have that much control with a mouse. With a mouse, you only have a single pointer, but you got 10 fingers.
Yeah.
So you can actually do a lot of crazy stuff. And finally, I think the processor speeds and the graphic processors on a device that is that thin is up to the mark.
Yeah.
It was never that good, I mean, you would always find slowdowns and crashes. And I think we're reaching that stage where for thin devices where you balance battery life and power, it's at a nice equilibrium now, because you're still getting your 10 hours of battery life with all of this graphics processing power and whatever. Like, you can do, like, you've seen the augmented reality stuff and, you know, it's just madness.
Mm. And let's in terms of the lineup, that the product lineups that they have now, the iPad Pro isn't cheap. Let's just put it out there, right? It's really expensive.
So here's the thing. We get excited about it, and all the fuss is about these new devices, which are the cutting edge, right? Mm. But for the average consumer, the iPad Pro is actually not for you.
If
you read any review, like on The Verge, on Engadget, whatever, I think the point they all make is that actually the iPad Pro is for pros. It's for graphic designers. It's for people who would use that and think the second iPad, just the regular iPad,
is good enough.
It's super powerful in itself.
Right.
And if you're just
yeah.
reading comic books and watching YouTube videos,
you don't need that kind of power. Like.
No, and that starts at like 1,500 ringgit.
Around there.
So it's almost one third the price.
Mm-hmm. So there is still market for them to do the MacBook Air and then the MacBooks and then your MacBook Pros and then your iPads and your iPad Pros. And, you know, it feels like Apple's in that budget of, you know, 3,000 ringgit to 5,000 ringgit. Holy, like, you could buy so many things. Like, where do you buy? What do you buy? Like, what fits your need?
I wish our exchange rate was better.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But the
4.2, no.
The MacBook Air is the thing that they're slowly trying to kill, which I'm because they made no announcements for it.
Yeah.
I think they've just, because the MacBook Pro, the 13-inch MacBook Pro now, is thinner and lighter than the 13-inch MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not, in my opinion, it is not as good as the MacBook Air, except for the Retina screen.
Yeah, yep.
I think the MacBook Air is still the best laptop they've ever built, and I think they should keep it around.
Yeah, there is the iMac Pro that was also announced, which
Jeff,
is...
Jeff, that's just madness.
Yeah.
That's insanity. You've seen it, right? Oh, yeah. I don't know who... That is if you're making Spider-Man Homecoming or Captain America Civil War.
No, this is just ordinary, Apple showing off.
Yeah, no ordinary person needs that device.
This is really Apple showing off of what you can do with, you know, when you just go crazy for an all-in-one device.
No, I think basically they were bombarded with so much criticism over the Mac Pro.
Yeah.
And over the fact that they didn't update it for like a year and a half. So Pro users were like, "Why, you suck, you've forgotten us, we hate you." And then they're like,
"We're leaving
oh,
you.
Yeah? See, check this out." Dude, it starts at $5,000. That's 20,000 ringgit or 23,000 ringgit. And you can upspec it, I think, to 128 gigs of RAM.
Yeah. Why? I think if you're doing Spider-Man Homecoming...
If you're making a $200 million movie, then sure.
But would those people would actually use an iMac Pro? Because you have that stigma, you know, iMac and Mac Pro.
Well, they use Mac Pros.
Yeah, so they use Mac Pro. So like, because iMac Pro is meant for those people, would those people actually buy? Because they look at iMac and go like, this
no, but
is
I can't
not
see why not. Because all the internals are the same. Mm. And then you can just daisy chain 10 screens to it, because it's got USB-C.
But the Mac Pro, the beauty of
you can upgrade
is the upgrade part, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And again, it kind of like, Apple, what are you trying to do here? Because you created a beautiful device that everyone wants that don't need, which is kind of like actually what they've been doing all this while.
It's just a stopgap, I think the,
it is.
I think the,
just to make people happy, drool for a while.
While they work on their next Mac Pro.
The Mac Pro, all right.
Meanwhile, no ordinary person. Like, if you're just browsing for emails, never ever buy that.
Now, we need to take a short break for Bursa Update, but have you bought your $29 Apple pencil case?
No, I have not.
Are you planning to buy a $29 Apple pencil case?
I just keep it in my bag.
That one for me was just one of the weirdest announcements ever.
Hey, kawan, this is a company that not 6-7 years ago released Apple socks for your iPad. Remember that?
Oh,
abomination?
Yes.
Colorful socks.
Oh my God,
it was so stupid.
Yeah. I think one day we should do of all the silly things Apple have announced.
Remember the boombox?
The boombox, the book of just their product ads. There was one that was $250.
Surprisingly, that does really well in design schools. Like, design schools
just
buy it.
Go off the net and download them. It was a free images. You could search it online. Come on. Anyways, we'll take a short break. This is If You Want My Love by Cheap Trick, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back, and we're doing a wrap up of the month of June. Earlier we did WWDC, and at the start of the show we did E3. Let's talk about CES Asia 2017, because that happened in this month
as
well.
That's right.
And CES, we mentioned at the start of the show, you know, how CES has been in the one in Vegas has just kind of like, you know, been a car show, been a fridge show. So CES Asia, this is the third year already, and obviously happened in China. It should just be called the China Electronics Show.
Exactly.
And I bet you everything that they showed was made in China. Because even the stuff that was showed in Vegas, you know, a lot of them, they all go down to
Correct. Where
was it manufactured? It was manufactured in China. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, I won't go through exact details what was announced, but I'll give you a hint of how different the CES Asia 2017 is compared to the one in Vegas. Because, as we mentioned, the one in Vegas seems to be like, in technology around the life of a human being, right? The cars, your home, your office, your, you know, appliances, even your toaster now got Bluetooth and all this kind of stuff, right? So that's what they're in that direction.
Yes.
Whereas the Asia one, though, we're going like robotics and
robotics, mobile.
Yeah, it is a very different shift.
It used to be what CES was, right? It was always a look into the future.
Yeah. So is in that sense, is CES Asia always just playing the catch up, or is CES Asia in a way at more advanced because, you know, we seem to be more driven in a sense where we want to see robots, you know, on the streets and so forth. Whereas, you know, on the West, they're just kind of like, okay, that kind of dream of seeing robots walking down the street ain't going to happen anytime soon. We're just going to focus on, you know, doing baby steps.
Well, Asia, also it becomes about what you can sell. So that's what I think. I mean, CES Asia is quite nice in that sense.
Yeah.
I like the looking far into the future. Mm. So for me, CES is a failure if I can buy the product. No, but don't you think so? Like in the past, right? They used to announce all these things, which you know you would never see, but it made you excited of what for what the future holds. And I think with this idea of robots walking around, helping you around your house, this world of tomorrow type stuff is quite exciting. And, you know, China, Japan, Korea, they're always looking in that direction, right? And I think that's a good thing.
You know, CES this year, the biggest announcement everyone was talking about is the release of Nokia, the new 3310 and the new series and all that.
which is, yet again, it goes back to our theme of the show, nostalgia.
It does, right? CES Asia, the theme of the thing was just VR and augmented reality and robots and all. And I like this. There's a company called Shadow Creator.
Okay.
And they make a holographic VR lens that looks very much similar to your Microsoft HoloLens. I don't know why they look so similar. Probably same manufacturing company, not quite sure. But I love the name that they call themselves. They are known as Shadow Creator. And their lens is called the Hello Mini, which is kind of like a Hello Kitty kind of thing. I think they're trying to get people into the, you know, the norm of using a headset for consuming VR stuff. It looks exactly like a Microsoft HoloLens, but this is where the beauty of the, you know, the Asia comes in, right? It's half the price. It's half the price, Uma. It's half the price for something that is probably better and you can actually get your hands on it. How do we compete when you have these, you know, startup Chinese manufacturers who are just going crazy about this?
Yeah, like, so I think we've always been able to do that. Asian startups, Asian manufacturers have always been able to do the hardware stuff really well. And I think where people like Microsoft and Apple and Google excel is still in the software and
software
user interfaces.
Exactly, that's true.
And so, yes. Mm. I mean, I would not buy a Hello Mini if the interface was crappy.
Yeah, so it runs on Android 6.0, which is not Windows, because HoloLens runs on Windows, right?
Yeah.
So there itself, you were right. It's the software that makes the entire, you know, hardware usable, right? That's why Apple is doing so well, because
they own both,
right? And for Android, you know, if you were to buy a mid-range or a low-end smartphone, your experience with Android would be horrible.
Actually, you don't even need to go that far. We both own the best Android phone in the market right now, right? The Samsung S8. We both have one. Mm-hmm. And the Android experience is great.
Yeah.
But Bixby is awful.
Yes, yes.
The Samsung
it still
Assistant
has that,
is awful.
You know what I tried to do? I recently tried to actually reroute the
button. Take it out? Yes.
No, I'll try to reroute the button so that when I press it, it's Google Assistant instead of Bixby. But it's still, I can't do it. I have to root my phone for that. And,
you still have that problem.
Anyways, some cool tech toys that we've seen. There's this Koi VR demo, which is, you know, you've been to theme parks and you wear, you know, you sit on this, 4D rides, right? So you can actually now buy one for your own home as a startup that does this, and you can put on your HoloLens or your VR lens and, you know, experience the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's crazy. You get it in cinemas in Malaysia now. They also launched like this new mobile controller. Again, they're going on mobile. I bought one for David Chu for his Secret Santa gift. If he's listening to this, he will finally know who bought him this mobile game controller for your smartphone and your iPad. They've released a new one.
So have you used one of those?
I have. And it's only useful for me if I'm playing games like Pro Evolution Soccer or like FIFA.
That's right.
And the rest of it, I still love the touch feel.
Yeah.
And most of the games, like your Temple Run and stuff, like it's meant for you to use your screen.
To tap the screen,
instead
right?
of,
correct.
Yeah. There's this thing called the Core Zero Wood Phone Charger. It's basically a dock, but it's made of real wood, Uma. Are you sold into this, Uma? Come on. It's real wood. I'm not sure what kind of wood you're using this, but they can also customize to things like marble and stone if you want as well.
Oh, so this is trying to make your technology feel human again, lah.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, human, there is this thing called the GoWild HoloRea, I think. It is basically a virtual assistant that it's kept in this box, like, you know, one of those Star Wars holographic images of Princess Leia, R2-D2 is projecting it. So you basically buy a box, and the box projects this assistant, which is your partner.
A few months ago in Japan, they, for an exorbitant price, they announced that artificial girlfriend.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes, with a holographic girlfriend that will greet you, send you text messages during the day to
and will
you
remind
feel
you, yeah, and like, you know, remind you lunchtime. And then when you come back home, she's excited that you're home.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
That is our future, Lajefendu.
Oh no. Speaking of future, BMW actually made a presence in CES Asia, and they showed off cars again. And BMW's HoloActive, which is the whole new chassis, and you know, doesn't have like wheels that we know of. It kind of like floats around. It's just sci-fi, but it's just really cool to see a company like, you know, BMW also making its presence into, you know,
something. So as CES Asia grows and grows and grows, I think it'll be a nice parallel thing to CES Vegas.
Yeah, because then you don't have to fly all the way to Vegas.
Correct.
You just go to China.
Yeah, and then people like BMW and all the big guys, you know, Microsoft, all these people may end up coming to Asia as well, because they too know that this is where all the money is.
Of course.
So you need to sell to us.
All right. Anyways, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the biggest acquisition that has happened since the start of the year, probably as well. So we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9.
And you're listening to me, Jap Sandhu, together with Uma Pagan, and we're doing a wrap-up of the month of June. Now, the biggest story that came out of this month, that probably will be for the year, is Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods, and they took over 450 brick-and-mortar locations.
Wow.
And for a price of $13.7 billion. And everyone was just like, on that day, I remember when I came on to the show and I said, like, you know, if you're in the US and, you know, your name is not Amazon and not Whole Foods and you are in the grocery area, you just go back and sleep, lah. It's not a good day for you to wake up because
also,
the giant has arrived.
Yeah, there were a couple of stories, right? One was that it affected Amazon share price so much that they got Whole Foods for free, essentially. Because their value shot up by so much. Right?
Wow.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So Amazon's biggest competitor at the moment is Walmart.
Yeah.
And Walmart is making big moves into the online space. Yeah. So Jeff Bezos went,
Let me get into your space.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Because there's no point. Like, so Amazon's excellent at online stuff. Walmart's excellent at retail stuff. Yeah. Amazon's rubbish at retail stuff. I've seen photos of their first supposed bookshop.
Yeah.
It looks awful. It's like designed by someone who knows how to design a website. Like, there are shelves going like, you know, top kitty fan books or something. Like, so it's like really,
for that Snapchat generation.
Okay, I'm like, that's not how you design a bookshop, right? Yeah. Because you appeal to a different crowd as well who would walk into a bookshop as opposed to buying something online.
Mm.
And so I think Bezos is smart in that instead of trying to learn how to do retail properly, you just acquire Whole Foods, which has done retail incredibly well.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is with Amazon is that, you know, they've always been a company trying to perfect the delivery system, right? They've always
getting you the thing you want as fast as possible.
Yeah, so
Jeff, you were in Vegas.
Last year.
And you needed a USB stick.
Yes, so So I needed a cable because so I forgot my USB cable, and I just decided to, like, you know what, I am going to try Amazon. I have an account already, so they have my details and stuff. So I just opened my phone, and it was like, I think, about 7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And I was heading to a location, a different location where the expo was, you know, being held, right? And it was in MGM Grand. I was in a different hotel, so in the bus, I decided to turn on my phone. And because the guy's saying, like, just get it on Amazon, you'll get it within an hour or so. And I'm like, no way.
Whatever.
Like, yeah. Summer Vegas is the middle of the desert. Like, you know, no way. True enough, within an hour and a half, it actually arrived at the venue area because the guy just sent me a text and was saying, like, hey, I'm actually around the corner. Do you want me to drop it off at the concierge of MGM?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, yeah, please do, because I'm stuck in an event. And yeah, it arrived. USB cable and a power bank. Just, you know, I thought I might as well get one as well. But yeah.
But wow.
So
right?
fast. And
and to be fair, you say they keep trying to perfect it. I think they have, right? To a certain extent, you don't have to wait very long at all.
Mm. Mm.
And with all their devices, the dash wand.
Yeah.
They're trying to find easier access points for you to spend your money with them.
And they're really making it so easy that you can literally just talk. That you want this and it will buy it. Like, so that dash wand, right? So the dash button or the dash wand.
Correct.
No idea what they're calling it, but it's basically, it's just called dash. Dash is something like you put on, it's a fridge magnet that you can stick it onto your fridge. You can lift it up and you go like, hey, Alexa, I need more milk. Can you get me more milk?
No, whatever, you do that. So you just press the button, it's done. You don't have to talk to it. You don't have to do anything. If it's a dash button for like washing detergent.
Yeah.
It will even automatically order when it figures you're running out because it knows the lifespan of a box of washing detergent.
Wow.
It's insane. Sure, yeah. It makes your life a lot more convenient, but at the same time, it is so much control that we've given over to Amazon, especially in the US, right? Also, 450 outlets for Whole Foods or something like that.
Yeah.
Those are just drone access points, right?
For their delivery service. Because they don't want you to ever come to the brick and mortar store anyways, because they just want you to be home, because you spend more when you're at home because of the comfort that you are, right? The mindset you gain, you're nicely tucked into your sofa, and then you see this commercial going on, you go like, oh, that looks pretty cool, and then you end up buying a lot of things in your cart, right? So they are going to use that hub as, you know, this 450 outlets as their storehouse and for their grocery storehouse, where they're going to use drones in the future and so on. And they've shown video previously, like how, you know, you can order, I think 2 or 3 weeks before they acquire Whole Foods, they did a teaser video of the dash button that, you know, the person picked it up and like, you know, can you show me a recipe for a pasta? And then, you know, they made the order and all that kind of stuff, and it came on. And for me, when I looked at that video, I go like, one is, this is like a trailer to Black Mirror, season 5 or something like that.
Because from now on, you're not going to be known as Jeff Sandu. You're just going to be Amazon Prime 763.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No,
so,
because what was it? The Echo Look? No.
Yes.
Alexa Look or whatever. So now it's got a screen.
Echo Show.
Yeah. So the show is the one that helps you decide what to wear in the morning.
There's one
with the screen that sits in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So you can do that as well, right? You can just be like, hey, I need a recipe for pizza, and it'll pop up on the screen and stuff. But they're really trying to take over every element of your home, and it's quite scary because at the moment they don't seem to have much competition.
They don't, yeah. And they're just all guns blazing towards this direction. It's just a pity that we have not yet seen Alexa here in this part of the region.
Yeah, so they've rolled out in the
Come
US
on, Amazon.
And the UK.
Yeah.
And you can have access to it. Full access in the US and the UK. I think it's just a matter of time before they roll out globally.
Hopefully. Because you get, you know, people like Alibaba, who's coming in with huge investments, you know,
Correct.
This morning, $1 billion on Lazada, and, you know, to expand. Like, it's only a matter of time. Like, I'm not sure if Amazon has now seen what, you know, Alibaba's muscle power is, and like, do they feel like, you know what, Jeff Bezos, like, okay, we're not going to compete with you just yet, because Bezos is a smart guy.
Well, the way
he went after Walmart is very smart.
Very smart. Well, we were speaking to Karamjit earlier today of DNA, and he was saying that maybe Amazon doesn't have to come into Malaysia because all of the operations are based out of China anyway.
Yeah.
So they will just reroute everything to you here. Because right now, Amazon offers free shipping even to Malaysia on selected products.
Yeah, selected products.
I think it's just a matter of time, because that's the biggest problem, right? Mm. You can order and the items are cheaper than anything you can find in Malaysia. Mm. Books, whatever, the discounts they give are huge. It's shipping that kills you.
Yeah.
So if they can organize and work out their free shipping stuff, sorted.
All right. Talking about sorted, we're done for the show.
What? Done already? Actually, Jeff Sandu, before we go, Nintendo's Super Nintendo Mini, which we're all very excited about. We'll talk about it some other time.
When we have the device, I guess. Are you going to buy it? You're going to buy it. You're definitely going to buy it.
So pretty.
You're definitely going to buy it.
I grew up with that thing.
You're going to buy the Japan edition as well, right?
Which is much nicer than the purple color crappy American version.
Yeah. Anyways, this has been Tech Thursday. If you missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my, or I would actually tell you to just download the app. It's on iOS and Android, and also on CarPlay Ready. Go do all those fun stuff, those crazy tech stuff, because it's Tech Thursday, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.